Turn with me, if you will, just a few pages back from what we were here. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this morning, I'm going to share a few thoughts on the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. And here, when we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 18 and 19. And here is where it begins, and he says these words, and we find this phrase here at the end of 19, down in 19. But here he says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James here, so it might say a little bit different, King James. But our aimless conduct, or our manner of life, I believe it would say, it would be the same thing. We receive conduct that we receive by tradition of your fathers. So we are not redeemed. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, things that can be, you know, distorted, that can be corrupted, like gold or silver. How many know gold and silver is good, but it makes a poor God? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're redeemed with something much more valuable, much more precious. He says, from our aimless conduct that we receive by the tradition from your fathers. How many know tradition doesn't save us? Amen. Sometimes there can be a few good things if we're traditionally or faithfully doing some things that honor God and seek Him with all of our heart, amen, like prayer and worship and those things. But the traditions of men do not save us. It says, but we're saved with this, the precious blood of Christ. Oh, glory to God. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was the perfect lamb. Amen. Now, how many know that something that is precious we place value on? Amen. You put value on things that are precious. And sometimes, you know, I mean, sometimes we say, well, look at that gem. You know, a precious, anybody heard of a precious gem? That means it's valuable, right? A diamond, the size of it, the cut that it has may be precious. But there's also things in our life I think sometimes we don't realize or we forget how precious it is. Now, if you've had any kind, anybody here ever been sick in your life? Maybe you got malaria. You guys from Africa always getting that. But not now, but I mean, hallelujah. But if you've ever been sick, then you realize how precious health is. Amen. You know, sometimes it takes some things in this life, and sometimes we don't appreciate as much as we should. Amen. Until we've lost it. I remember when we were out of electricity for about 7 days. Boy, you know, you don't realize how much you rely on it. And it became a precious commodity at the time because the whole city was pretty much out. There was like, I think there was 2 fast food places that had electricity. And of course they're packed, but nobody cared because nobody could work anyway. You know, they were all off work because the whole city was out of power. And we would go there to try to find and sit at the booth that had the little electric, you know, had the plug-in place. There was a little electric place there so you could charge your phone, and people would take turns charging their phone, you know, in the little electric outlet. And we found that electricity was precious. Amen. Sometimes when we lose things, how about if you ever, you know, do we really appreciate, do we consider our food precious to us? You know, sometimes we don't. We live in a world where food is abundant, isn't it? It's abundant here. But if you go to places, there's places of the world where food is very precious. Because things gain value depending on what the need is. Amen. And so we put preciousness, or we put value on things that are precious. And so this morning I want us to realize that even sin makes the blood of Jesus precious. Why? Because it washes away sin, right? That makes it precious. There had to be a sacrifice. We've talked about this in the past, that God created us in the image of God. And when man sinned, then there has to be a remedy for sin. And he promised to send what? Jesus. He said, I will send the one. He's going to crush the serpent's head, right? And he will bruise his heel. He's going to destroy sin in the flesh. And we thank God for his redeeming power. So number one, the blood of Jesus is precious because of its redeeming power. How many are glad that you are redeemed? Redemption means that you're cleared by payment. How many know that all have sinned? Every man, boy, woman, child. The Bible says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. But we're what? Justified. We are justified. We are redeemed through the redemption that was in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24 says, through that redemption, because of the redeeming power, Jesus took your and I's guilt. He took the guilt. And he paid in full, hallelujah, our debt, the sin debt. He became sin for us, that we might be made and receive his righteousness in his stead. And it was because of that precious blood. Hallelujah. If I'm redeemed because payment in full, there's no accusation against me that could have any legal standing before me, before God. Amen. No legal standing before God. Amen. We are free. Romans 8, we know what that says, don't we? There is therefore, verse 1, no condemnation. That's exactly what it's talking about. A legal standing. If you stood before a judge and you were declared innocent, amen, there is then no condemnation for you. Amen. The Bible says we're declared innocent because of the blood of Jesus. There's no condemnation for us. We've been redeemed. There is therefore no condemnation for those which are what? In Christ Jesus. We don't walk after the flesh, but after that reborn spirit that we received when we were born again. For the law of the spirit of life, the law could not bring redemption. It could not bring the fullness of it. It only covered sin. Amen. The sacrifices of the old covenant covered the sin. But Jesus came and paid the price to wash it away. And that's where we're going today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, how many know without the shedding of blood, there's no what remission of sin. They cannot be redeemed without the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There's good news in the house today. The blood of Jesus set us free. There's more than one way to stand with God. See, it's our faith that we placed in the finished work of Christ. No matter what you're standing for, no matter what you're believing God for, whether it be finances, whether it be healing, it's based on what Jesus did through the precious blood of the Lamb. He became that Lamb for us. He became that sacrifice in our place. And the blood was shed and it ran down his body and spilled out onto the ground. And the Bible says, there where the blood was spilled. Amen. There that blood which was spilled grew something and it's called life. You see, the cross is where the worst of man meant the best of God. And salvation came. It's where we all became equal. Oh, hallelujah. We've been redeemed. Let's look at Acts 20, 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Hallelujah. Better turn here. All right. Glory to God. Acts 20, 28 says, therefore, now here is a place where Paul is giving his farewell message to the elders and the pastors at Ephesus. They had had a terrible time and under great persecution, and Paul has to leave the city. And so he leaves the city, but he gives a farewell speech. He invites all the pastors to a nearby city that he goes to, and he invites them in for their final, for a final word to them. And he said to them earlier here in this chapter, but he's telling them, watch out, beware. Because when I leave, I'm just telling you, grievous wolves are going to try to come in, you know, to bring havoc to the church. How many knows what wolves are? That's the wolves in sheep clothing. Many times people that are leaders and they're bringing the false doctrine, they're bringing the wrong teaching. But here he says this in verse 28. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Oh, hallelujah. We've been redeemed, what? By his blood. He purchased us with his own blood. Oh, glory to God. Are you seeing how precious the blood of Jesus is? We're beginning to look. I know we just had one, but the blood of Jesus has redeeming power. Number two, the blood of Jesus is precious because of its cleansing power. So we got redeeming power, right? We've got cleansing power. How many know the blood will cleanse you? As a servant of God, as a son of God, as a child of God. Now, when we're born again, of course, it cleanses us. It brings us into the kingdom. But once we're born again, we still sometimes, anybody ever miss us since you've been saved? You made a mistake. You sinned against God. Well, if you didn't, we'll have a prayer for liars later. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we've all done something. But he said, if you sin, I'm not saying we have to. We can walk free. But 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. 1 John 1 7. Hallelujah. Well, I think it's this one here. Yeah, there we go. 1 John 1 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, all unrighteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. He cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus. And here we see that it's good to walk in that, and that we have a new covenant. We have a better covenant than they did of the Old Testament. Amen. How many know that we can walk in the light? And I mean by walking in the light and having fellowship one with another, he said the blood of Jesus will begin to cleanse us. Now that doesn't say that it is, but it infers that if there's no cleansing, there's no cleansing of our sin until we get back in fellowship or walking in the light. If you're not walking in the light, you know, you got to ought with your brother. The Bible says, you know, if you bring in your prayer, go make it right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It was good anyway. You know, sometimes we have to make things correct if we have something in our heart against someone. He wants us to walk free. Amen. Glory to God. And so we can know that fellowship with one another is important as well. I don't know. Now, some people say, well, this is definitely written to the Christian. Do you know any non-Christians that have fellowship with God? Do you know any? No, they don't. They might hear from God. They might talk to God, but they don't have true fellowship until we really receive Jesus as our Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. But that fellowship is sweet. But here we know that the new covenant is better. We're under the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant of the law, but we're under the new. And we have better promises. Hebrews 8:6 says that we're under that new covenant. We'll be going over here to Hebrews quite a bit, but right now we'll be at 8:6 for a minute. Hallelujah. Hebrews 8:6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, talking about Jesus, insomuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. How many are thankful? See, under the old covenant, what were they under? They were under what? Cursing and blessing, weren't they? If you obey me, you're blessed. If you disobey, you're under the curse. And that's how they operated in the flesh. They had to obey him. And they had to do what's right to be under the blessing. He said, you'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed in the city. Blessed coming in. Blessed going out. But if they're disobedient, then they're not going to be blessed. And sometimes, well, several times in the old covenant, they got into captivity, didn't they? They were brought captive, and God had to bring them back, and they would then cry out to God, and he would deliver them, and they would walk again in the blessing of God. But we have a better covenant. Well, why is it better? Because we're no longer, we're going to talk about it some more, but we're not bound to sacrifices of animals. See, they sacrificed then, and animals had to be shed. Why? It was giving the type of Christ. It was them believing that the Messiah is coming, and that's how they were really born again. But they never lost their consciousness of sin. Every year, they went and took the lamb. You know, you're supposed to bring what? Your pet lamb, right? The one you lovest. The one that's pure. The one that's perfect. Make sure it doesn't have any blemishes. It's not blind or sick. And it's as perfect as you can find in your flock. And you take care of it. You know, it was the one that you hand fed. The one that you cared about. And the one that you took and then sacrificed. Because he wanted to see, oh, what is my heart, Lord? My heart was in it. Your whole life was there. It's representing the perfect lamb that we just read about a minute ago that paid the price, the sacrifice. Amen. Well, let's look here a little bit further down. Verse 7 says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. But here he's saying, I'm making a new covenant with mankind. In other words, really, there's one covenant, but it came together in Christ. Through Jesus Christ, I'm bringing the fullness of that covenant. Even though they were believing in the coming Messiah, when he finally came, how many know we have a new, what he says, a new covenant, but really the old covenant became completed in Christ, didn't it? Because he kept saying he's coming. And the promise to Abraham was what? That Jesus would be born. That through his loins, Jesus is coming. That was really the promise they were looking for. They're looking for the promised Messiah. And here he has come with better promises. He's come with a better way. Then no longer do you need to sacrifice an animal, but I set you free. I come to what? Wash away every sin, every stain. Oh, glory to God. Let's look back here at one chapter back, chapter 7. I just want to read a few verses here and and see that the precious blood of Jesus became, you know, because of that cleansing power, we can walk with Him. Amen. Here in verse 25, he says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost. Oh, aren't you glad? Those who came to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for His own sins and then for the people's. For He did once. For this He did, what, once for all, then when He offered up Himself. This He did once for all. First of all, He was able. Amen. He was able. And He says, hey, I'm here, I'm able. Why is He able to save to the uttermost those who come to Him through God, through Jesus? Come to God through Him? How? He was the perfect Lamb. He did not sin. He had no sin in Him. It was the man that God had to bring into the world through Mary to be that perfect sacrifice. He said, here I am. I'm able. I'm able. See, no man. God looked for an intercessor. It says that Jesus became the one that He's going to intercede for the whole world forever. He ever liveth to make intercession for us, saying, no, here is the blood on My hands, Father. There is no condemnation for them. They are made righteous through this precious blood. Oh, hallelujah. Saints of God, are you thankful for the blood today? Hallelujah. Let's turn back over here to Hebrews 9. We're going to stay here in Hebrews, so I believe, mostly. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Beginning at verse 11, we'll read here 11 through 14. It says, But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Oh, hallelujah. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Oh, hallelujah, I'm so glad He did that. Because a lot of times we don't realize, see, under the Old Testament, yeah, their bloods, their sins were covered. But they always had that consciousness of sin in their heart. It was never taken away until Jesus came. See, they were saved in the faith of the coming Messiah, but they didn't have that changed heart yet. He said, I will. I'm going to take out the stony heart, that heart of sin, and I'm going to give them a heart of flesh. But it hadn't happened yet. Jesus had not yet been fully crucified, and so their hope is in the coming Messiah. And their faith was in the fact that their sins are now covered. But how many know we are now cleansed once forever? Hallelujah. He is the one that is spotless. Glory to God. Without spot to God, He cleanses our conscience now. Our conscience from dead works. In other words, we are not conscious of sin all the time. Why? Because our heart has been changed. We've got a new nature on the inside. We've been changed from darkness to light. We've been translated into His kingdom. And now, what do we have? a conscience that's pure before Him. Paul said in his conscience, he said, I haven't violated my conscience at all. I'm free. In my conscience, I'm free before God. Hallelujah. We need to stay free. Amen. And that's the part of us a lot of times. How many know if you do sin or something, your conscience should bother you? Amen. That's different. You know, conviction is good. It's not a bad thing. You know, people say, well, I'm just being condemned, when maybe God's convicting you. He's touching your conscience, because your conscience tells us what's right and wrong. Amen. It tells us what's good and evil. It already there. He said, I wrote my law upon your heart that you would know. He said, now our spirit, our conscience can be trusted once we're born again, because we're freed from sin. We don't have that consciousness of sin all the time. Now we're free. But if we do sin, he'll speak to us. Amen. The Holy, our own conscience will begin to speak to us. You know, anybody ever, you ever had a guilty conscience, you know? We've all had that, haven't we? You've heard of that. Maybe your mother told you something, and, you know, maybe you didn't tell the full truth, and you had a guilty conscience, amen? Now, that doesn't count for you, Michelle. I know your mother heard God, and she knew anyway. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Anyway, praise the Lord. But, you know, I mean, like they say, your mother has eyes in the back of her head. You know, in other words, she already knows anyway most of the time, your mother or father. They just want you to fess up. Amen. And we should take that. But praise God, we do have something. We've got 1 John 1:9, don't we? He said that if we confess our sin, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the precious blood of Jesus. Glory to God. So we want to continue to walk in that fellowship with Him. Amen. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, one with, you know, with one another in the blood of Jesus, His Son. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. We don't have to have a conscience that's full of sin, or conscious of sin all the time, or that we're going to, you know, we are free. We're now truly free from that inside out. Amen. And, you know, we can have fellowship with brothers and sisters. Amen. Not just that, you know, this is our fellowship, our church, but how many know there's brothers and sisters all around the world. We have some joining us on Skype. They're part of our church. But there are others all around the world. We've got people from Thailand today, from BC and Alberta, hallelujah. Some from the US, oh my goodness. We are blessed. There's believers all over, and we can fellowship with other believers. It's okay. Just remember where our home is. We know where we are. God wants us to have a local body, amen, a local church, and we're a part of this. This is part of our, this is our family here, our local family. I mean, when they were in trouble, it's good to have a local church. When you get in trouble, it's good to know if you're missed. You know, some people have said, well, nobody, you know, I got sick in the hospital, nobody called me. And, well, nobody's seen them forever, you know. They haven't had much fellowship, and nobody knew they were sick. They didn't know. So let us know, you know. If something happens, you need a local fellowship that can rally around you, that can pray for you, that can stand with God for you, intercede for you, and bring you forward in victory. Amen. There's victory in that blood. Glory to God forever. Anyway, so we, you know, so there's redeeming power in that blood. Amen. Cleansing power in the blood. And the blood is precious because of its power to give us peace with God. Do you know that the blood makes peace with God for you? It takes that because we needed the Savior. We needed that blood. And that blood cries out before the throne of heaven for you, mercy, grace, hallelujah. Where we can go, but it brings peace with God. Romans 5:1. so that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How many know that's important? It's important. There was peace made. God's not angry with you. He's not upset with you. He's not holding anything over you. He's not the judge that's trying to beat you down. Hallelujah. He sees you as righteous through His blood. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. How many are thankful? We've been justified. We've been made right. We've been redeemed by that blood. Glory to God, and we have peace with God. Peace, number one, because the law had been broken. You know how many know that all have sinned, He said, come short of the glory of God. But through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, God's made peace, reconciling the world to Himself. Now, I didn't do it, and you didn't do it, but God did it. Amen. And when we put our faith in what Jesus has accomplished, those benefits come forward. Amen. And secondly, the blood of Jesus cleansed the guilty conscience. And we've already said that, but He cleansed that. There's no condemnation for you and I. That conscience has been cleansed. Let's go to Hebrews 10. I'm just going to read the first, I believe. Let's see what time it is. First couple of verses, it says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. The sacrifice could not make them perfect. It was impossible. It could not cleanse that sin away, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more conscience of sin. They wouldn't have had a conscience if the sacrifices could have done it. They wouldn't have been conscious of sin anymore. But there needed to come the final once-for-all sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in those sacrifices that they offered, there is a reminder of sins every year. They remembered their sins. Every year they had to go back, make another sacrifice. We've got to put our sins on the scapegoat. Let it run off. We've got to do these things. Why? To cleanse. Not cleanse, but to cover their sin. To wash you off temporarily, their sins are covered. But then they go out and they still had the nature of sin in them. And so the next year, they've got to go again. Or the next time they sin, they've got to bring some kind of a sacrifice, amen, for different things that were done and different animals that were innocent had to be offered. But it could not take away that sin conscience. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is precious because it has power to reconcile us to God. It reconciles us to God. Ephesians 2:13. Now you and I didn't do it, but He did it. Amen. God did it through Jesus Christ. And we have to place our faith in what He did, because none of us could have done it. There was no man that was alive. God looked, He searched through the earth, desiring an intercessor, someone that could stand in the gap, that could be the intercessor once for all mankind, and it was through His blood. There had to be a man that was perfect, and so God said, I am going to have to send my Son, because all men have sinned. All men have sinned. There's none righteous. There's no one available. I'm going to supernaturally, through the permission of man, bring my Son into the earth. He worked with man because man still had authority in the earth. He gave him dominion and He didn't take it back. But He worked with him and He brought forth His Son, who came to pay the price and the buy back and give all that, use that dominion that He had. Hallelujah. Became a man. Emptied himself of all of his godliness. Yes, he was fully God, but he walked as a human being. He walked as a man. Could have sinned, but he did not. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. The Bible says he could have taken, he could have called on 10,000 angels. He said, I could call the angels right now and be delivered. He let them know, but he did not. He said, I choose the joy that's set before me. That's you and I. That's you, the joy that was set before him. That they might become, what, sons of the living God. Ephesians 2:13. I didn't read it yet, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He has reconciled us back to himself, and he has given us that same ministry. We can reconcile others. How many know? Because you've been lit, you can light somebody else. Glory to God. How many are lit this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is precious because it gives us boldness to go before God. Hebrews 10 verse 19. Hebrews 10 19. We were there and now we're going back. Here we go. 10 19. And it says this, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus gives us boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. Because Jesus was that high priest who came once for all. Never again does there need to be another sacrifice for man. Hallelujah. It was by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near now. Amen. With a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, glory to God. How many know that your heart is your spirit? We've talked about that a few times, many times. I'm not saying in every instance, but when he talks about the heart, he's talking about the very center of you and I. He's talking about our spiritual man that was birthed, that was brought forth in true holiness, and our body is washed with pure water. Oh, hallelujah. There's good news in the house today. Now, sometimes people will try to receive things from God. And I know one particular gentleman, he was asking the question. And he says, well, why? The guy called, this guy called from the church. And he said, I'm going to go down there and pray for him. And he said, I'm not even sure if he's saved or not, but I'm going to go pray for him. He thought, well, maybe, you know, he was a little bit tipsy at the time. the gentleman he's going to pray for. Not a lot, but he had been drinking a little bit, and he thought, well, maybe I'll pray for him now, and then maybe later I can talk to him and lead him to Jesus. Well, he prayed for him, anointed him with oil, went about his business. And the next day, he went going looking for him. He said, where is he? Oh, he's at work. His wife said, he's at work. Well, what had happened to him is he had suffered a stroke, and he was totally cured. Went back to work the next day. Because he was placing his faith not in his righteousness, but in the blood of Jesus alone. And sometimes when we stand before God, this man was asking, why was this man healed? And here at the church, we've got Sister So-and-so who loves God. She's faithful. She's a great Christian. But I don't care how much good works or righteous conduct that we have, you still have to come by the blood of Jesus and the blood of Jesus alone. For he is your righteousness, not by works of man, but by faith in that precious blood of Jesus. And sometimes when we serve God for X number of years, we forget where we come from. Sometimes people forget where they came from. There was a day that Sister So-and-so had to give her heart to Jesus. But she came, I'm the best Christian in the church. You know, I don't understand why God doesn't heal me. You know, and maybe she is the best Christian. But how many know it doesn't make any difference? We have to come by the blood of the Lamb. If we stand on our own righteousness, we are doomed. We must take the righteousness of Christ and say, yes, I put my full faith in what Jesus did through His blood. And I receive the blessings of God. I receive the forgiveness of God. I receive the healing of God. I receive the goodness of God. Oh, hallelujah, saints, it's precious. It is all by the blood. It is all by that precious blood. If He had not given it, we don't have anything to stand on. So why do I have boldness before God? He says here in 10:19, why do I have that boldness to come? Hallelujah. Because I'm a bold person, or because, you know, I'm a brave person. You know, it's not too brave to go before God, you know, without His blood. You know, some people have tried it. We've seen it even in the old covenant there. They try to go the wrong way. God said, you've got to come. You've got to do certain things. You've got to shed that blood first. But how many remember Eli's sons? Amen. Or the sons of Aaron, The sons of Aaron who went in and they offered strange fire before God. They were destroyed. They were under a different time, a different covenant. But how many know the seven sons of Sceva in the new covenant? Amen. They tried to cast out the devil. They said, oh, in the name of Paul, in the name of Paul's God, in the name of Jesus, Paul's God, you know. But it wasn't their God, and those demons didn't have to listen to them. They didn't have the authority yet. They hadn't been born again. They hadn't received Jesus, and he beat them up and sent them out without any victory. No, it's not because I'm brave or because I'm a bold person, no. The boldness is produced because I know about the blood of Jesus. Because you know, the blood of Jesus makes me free. The blood of Jesus is what conquered it for me. The blood of Jesus is what made me right. Oh, hallelujah. His righteousness. Not mine, but His. How many are relying on His today? You know, if you missed it last night, if you missed it this morning, call on that blood. Let it cleanse you. Let it wash you and come boldly to the throne of grace. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is precious because it gives us overcoming power. Overcoming power. Hallelujah. You know, so 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2:14, he said, you know, that we can, He causes us to triumph in Christ. He causes what? To always triumph in Christ. But here, when we remember the word Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, that's where we're going. Revelation 12, 11. That's what I want. Revelation 12, 11 says, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Oh my goodness. We're back to that death thing again. Not loving our lives, but loving His life. Hallelujah. We sang it today. They get sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Doesn't it get sweeter with Jesus? His preciousness, when we realize the preciousness of that blood. You know, it's by the word, you know, some say, you know, but it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's not just the word. Sometimes I hear people say, well, the word of my testimony, you know. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We love not our lives to the death. We overcome. Hallelujah, the blood causes us to overcome. They had faith. We have faith in what? The blood. One translation said, because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Hallelujah. How many thank God? I thank God for that overcoming power. Amen. In the blood of Jesus. Power to overcome the world. Power to overcome fear and death. Power to overcome sickness and disease. The power to overcome the devil. He has no part with us. Amen. The power to overcome all evil. Power in the blood. The precious blood. Can you see why his blood is so precious today? Can you begin to see how precious it is? That is what gives us access to the throne room of heaven. Hebrews 4, what, 16 says, let us come therefore boldly to that throne of grace, that we may receive what? Grace and mercy to help in time of need. Oh, I'm thankful for the blood. I don't know about you, but how many are grateful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. 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 Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I've never, or you're listening today by audio somewhere, and you said, I've never made Jesus the Lord. I've never confessed him. I've never applied the blood to my heart. I've never said, Jesus, you paid the price for me. Your blood will wash away my sin. And if you're there today and you need to do that, I invite you to call on the name of Jesus. The Bible said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, but will be. He said, if we'll place our faith in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll wash away those sins. He'll make you his very own son or daughter. You can call on him today. It's just a prayer away. That's all he is. That's right. So just confess him. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sins, Lord. I believe that you died on that cross. You shed your blood for me. I receive you as Lord and Savior. Come on in, Jesus. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And if you mean that in your heart, you realize, you believe in your heart, and you said with your mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And you meant that in your heart. You're a child of God. You came to him. He forgives your sin. And he wants to have a relationship with you and walk with you. I encourage you to find the Bible. Begin to read it. Get a hold of God. Begin to spend time with him. And find a good church somewhere, or someone that knows God, and talk to them. Make it verbal with your lips. And say, I prayed, I received Jesus, and I need help. Okay, be bold. Let the Lord help you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad for that blood. Amen. That blood will save you. That blood will cleanse you. There is power in the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Worship you. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we're going to get ready to take communion today. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah, Lord. Yeah. Would you pass out the elements? Why don't you, Michelle, can you do it? Or Mom, either one. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah. We remember the precious blood. Amen. What Jesus did in his sacrifice. And so as we take the elements today, I want us to remember where you came from. Oh, thank you very much. Where you came from. Hallelujah. Remember his saving power in your life. Remember the sacrifices once for all. Where he'll wash you clean. He's redeemed us. That he's cleansed us. He's given us overcoming power. Oh, glory to God. We thank you for that precious blood, Jesus. We thank you for your sacrifice. All right. Praise the Lord. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. beginning at 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come.'" So we're remembering. He said, remember. Remember that he became sick for you. As this bread becomes one with us, I want us to think about that. Say, "Lord, I thank you for your healing power." So Lord, we thank you as we take the bread, Lord. We remember that you were whipped for us, that your body was beaten. It was bruised in our behalf, Lord. Lord, they could hardly even recognize you. And yes, said, "But by your stripes, we were healed, Lord." And we remember that you were willing to lay that body down. You were willing to take our sicknesses upon you, that we can receive healing. And Lord, we take and we eat. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. Let's just thank him for healing right now. If there's anything in your body, anything at all, just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your healing power. I worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any person that has sickness or disease in your body or anyone in your family, believe God. Let's trust God right now. Healing power flow in the name of Jesus. As that bread becomes one with us, Lord, let it bring health and healing to our body. Oh, we thank you, Father. Oh, we praise you. We remember what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we're so thankful that you sealed this covenant in your blood. That Jesus, you shed your precious blood. And you took that precious blood to the heavenly tabernacle, where it cries out mercy for all mankind, that when we call upon you, we then have mercy. We have forgiveness. We have cleansing, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that it also, we have fellowship one with another, Lord. We can forgive. We can release people, Lord, by your blood. Because you forgave us, you said, even as you forgave us, Lord, we can forgive. So, Lord, we thank you for that precious blood. We hold blameless those that have done anything to us or upon us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that that blood cleanses us from any sin, Lord. We remember when we were saved, when we were cleansed, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. And Lord, we come before you and we remember what you did. That blood that cries out for us. Take and drink.